Blog Talk Radio.
Another live episode of the Butterfly Evolution Show. This is Tammy, and I'm going to, Tika's not in with us tonight. She is out. Her baby plays the violin, and she is performing tonight. So, of course, Tika is with her, as she should be. So we're going to move right along. We have a very, very exciting show tonight. I'm just so excited for our guests that are going to be in or on with us tonight. So we're going to move pretty quickly because we're all on different, some of us are on different time zones, so we want to kind of move through the show pretty quickly. Want to thank everybody for tuning in. The chat line is open for those of you who are listening online and you are in the chat line. Please remember that you do have to be a registered follower of the show in order to submit your question or comment. And I see that we have quite a bit of callers, so if you're not able to get through and you want to send us something on the chat line, that will just probably be the best thing. But if you want to call in, you certainly can do that at 818-691-7406. Remember to select the number one. Only if you have a question or a comment, please select the number one, only if you have one. We do have, and I'm just going to ask you to bear with him. I'm going to bring our third guest in with us, and Barbie and Ken, you're on the air with us, and I'll connect with you in just a second. I want to just kind of go through the introduction part. But as I was saying, for those of you who are listening online or by phone, select the number one if you have a comment or a question. I want to remind you all to continue to move your trash cans for our new listeners. That's just something that's a little butterfly evolution thing. We ask that people move your trash can or anything in your home that normally is in one location. You never really move it. And then monitor how many times you go back to that place. It is a fun game to play with your children. I used to play it with Brandon quite often. I just move stuff just to let him see how often we can kind of get caught up in doing the same thing regardless of what it is and how bad or good it is for us. So it's just a way to challenge your mind and be open to new things. So continue to do that and continue to share your stories with us. So moving right along, tonight's topic is Don't Cheat Love. I'm going to start with just a small introduction, and then I'm going to have each one of our guest speakers, guest couples, come on and just share a little bit about their relationship and about each other, and then we'll move right into having them share some more information or some more things with us, allow you to ask questions if you have some questions, and then I have some questions for them as well. So, again, tonight's topic is Don't Cheat Love, and I just want to kind of read a little bit of what was posted out on several of the advertising that I did, most of it on Facebook and then some other places as well. But basically, this is about we open our hearts and our minds up to people, and we kind of share our life. We attempt to share our life with someone. And then love, that means it kind of begins okay. We usually start off okay. People have no problem seemingly falling in love, but we're talking about maintaining that love and the opportunity or the chance of that love enduring the test of time, enduring to see our children grown and see our grandkids, that kind of love, the kind of love that lasts, that endures. Some people are together now living in the same homes, and they are absolutely just miserable. Not saying that they don't love each other, but they've not really found out how to complement one another, how to feed each other's needs, to give them what they need. So that's what this is about. So I say this, if you're going to stay together, if you're going to live in the same household and particularly raise children, then we need to find ways to make love work. I feel that love is a primary emotional need, and I think for the most part, all of us, people desire to be intimate and to be genuinely loved by someone. So I feel that that is a primary need of most people. And I feel like we work to gain so many things. We work 24/7 to get things that in the end will add no value to our life. I don't think any of us will think about the things that we purchased or what we worked for when we're on our deathbed. It is those people that we love and that we have shared our lives with or wish we had shared our lives with or did something differently with. So I want to start here. Some time ago, and some of you may remember this, but some time ago we had a show, and Tika, again, who's not with us tonight, but she made a comment that love does not hurt. And I remember thinking quickly in my spirit, in my heart, in whatever else I have, my being, I thought, I don't know what love she's been doing or whatever, but I know every love that I have had seems to have hurt. That was my instant response. And I didn't speak it out loud, but internally, I mean, I didn't have to think about it. I was like, yeah, right, it does. And many of the listeners that night disagreed as well. They thought, love does hurt. But what was interesting is as I moved through life and my challenges and I worked on me and tried to get myself together, I thought about that comment quite often. Without thinking about it, it just came in my spirit. And so that being said, as I have grown and I have worked to change my life, I look at love differently. I don't really agree with what my spirit told me back then. I don't really agree that love hurts. And so Brandon and I was talking about this last week as I was preparing for the show. And I explained, I said, you know, Brandon, it's kind of like guns don't kill people, but the people with those guns is what kill them. And he said, well, I get that, but he says it's kind of like it's kind of deeper than that. And he made the analogy or kind of explained it this way, saying, picture your mate or you going to the store and you tell this person, we'll say you tell them to bring you an apple. He said, Mom, there's many types of apples. But if you just tell your mate to bring you an apple and not specify that you may only like Granny Smith apples, but because he may walk in the store and he sees an apple as an apple. Green, red, whatever color, an apple is an apple. So if we're not specific with what we need and how we need it, even though that person brings you back an apple, it may not be the type that you wanted. So he went on to say it's not love that hurts, it's one's expectation of that love without communicating what he or she needs from that person. So as we talk about the five love languages, and not necessarily the book, we're not just gearing right towards that, but it's about learning what you need from your mate in order to help the relationship progress. There are many, many things outside of that, but if you meet someone, and this is one of the things that someone shared with me years ago about this book, and this was an example, if I meet someone or if you meet someone and your primary language is English, but this person speaks Spanish, no English at all, and you speak no Spanish at all, this is going to be a difficult relationship if no one decides to be a student, to learn that person's language. And really it could be that both. I think we should look at it as we have to learn each other's language. So if my primary love language is X and yours is Z, then I need to learn how to give you Z and vice versa. So this is what it's about tonight. So as we move forward, think about that analogy. Think about how and if you are communicating what your language is. Maybe you don't know what your language is. I've found out, and I must say, I've never really, really just thought about what my language was and if I communicated it properly. So that's what this is about tonight and many other things. The book, The Five Love Languages, is written by Gary Chapman. It is a great book for those of you. Even if you're not dating, it's truly a super, super book. And I'm going to give you some names of some other books before we end tonight. But I want to start by allowing our couples to kind of just say hello. They're going to give you some information as much as they like, and I've informed them that if there's a question posed and they do not want to answer, they just say, this is Barbie and Ken, and we're going to pass that question, and we'll go on to the next question. We do welcome your questions and your comments as well. Again, I'm on by myself tonight, so you may have to bear with me as I go back and forth from the chat line and the phone line. But let's start. I think we've had one of our couples had to just go out for just a second, but she will let me know when they're back on. So let's start with Nikki and Jay, if you're okay with starting. And what you can do is just kind of introduce yourself, tell us where you're from, married, dating, and just a little bit about your relationship, and then we'll get into some more, anything you want to share, and then we'll get in, let Sean and Shamika introduce themselves, and then we'll get into some of the questions and some of your feedback, okay? And so, Jay and Nikki.
Hey, everyone. This is Jay and Nikki, engaged, been together for 10 months, lived together. Nikki's a teacher by trade. I work for a food company. Nikki's very athletic. I'm more the laid-back person in the relationship. And that's pretty much it.
Okay, okay. And you know what? Although I have not met Jay, somehow I knew Jay was gonna speak. And I like that. I like to have, I'm kind of old-fashioned in a sense, and then but I like the way that he just took the initiative and started first. So it doesn't mean Nikki's quiet now. But I like that. I have some more to share about Jay and Nikki, but I'm going to hold it. Okay, Sean and Shamika.
Hey, this is Shamika and Sean. We're from Nashville, and we've been married for 6 months. I am a teacher, and Sean is a financial advisor. And we're just excited about this whole marriage thing. We're excited, and we're definitely still learning and trying to, you know, glean as much information as we can at this point.
Okay. So we got a freshly new couple online with us, newly married. And then we have Jocasta. I'm sorry, we have Barbie and Ken. Are you on with us? They may have had to jump out for a minute. Okay, and I'm going to make sure that we don't have a really bad connection here because it sounds like we do. I'm going to ask Latasha if you could just let us know what it sounds like from your end with listening. I hear it here, and I don't want you guys to have to listen to that all night. Not sure what we can do about it. It just went away, so I'm not sure if it's still there or not or if we will be able to do anything about it. So I'm going to ask Barbie and Ken if you are on with us to go ahead with your introduction. If not, we'll move right along. Okay, I think they had to go back out. What I'd like to do is just kind of tell you a little bit more about the five love languages before moving forward. This is what we talked about, knowing your primary love language. And then after giving them, I'd like for our couples to come back and kind of tell us if what their primary love language is individually. And if you don't know, that's okay. And if you're like me, I have two. I learned that I have two of them. So they are affirmation, which is basically words. It's saying, or your mate saying, baby, you really look good today, or something to the sort. Maybe, how are you feeling? How are you doing? Being nurturing. The second one, or a second one, is a personal touch. That means just, it could be a kiss on your forehead, it could be holding your hand, something, personal touch. Acts of services or kindness. I loved the example of this one in the book. It explains of a man being asked if his wife loves him, and he says, yes, yeah, she cooks for me, she washes my clothes, she cleans up, she takes care of the kids. So to him, that told him, yes, she did love me, and that's exactly how he explained it. So acts of service or kindness. A fourth one is quality time. That could be just spending some time together at a park, or even at home, just doing things together. And a fifth one is gifts, that you like to receive things. So that's five of them: affirmation, a personal touch, acts of service or kindness, quality time, or gifts. So if we could start again with Jay and Nikki, if you have a primary love language and want to share it with us, and then tell us if you had to communicate that to each other, or it was something that you learned just by spending time together and getting to know one another. And then how do you, I know this is a lot, how do you work to make sure that you are depositing that love into that person based on what their needs are? So tell us if you have a primary love language, and did you communicate that to each other, or did that person just kind of learn it? And then what do you do now to keep that going, to keep that bank full for Nikki and Jay?
Yeah, this is Nikki. For me, I think it's quality time. Just having this, just for Jay to be around, you know, and through that, just the quality time, the acts of kindness to me, a lot of those other things automatically follow. He pretty much, I think, had to learn this just from being around me, learn my mannerisms, you know, things I like, I just, you know, dislike. Being together, of course, as much time as we spend together, you tend to learn, you know, the likes and the dislikes of the other person, you know, what makes them tick, things you try to stay away from, you know, to try to avoid the arguments and things like that. So definitely for me, it's just us having quality time.
Okay.
Tammy,
okay.
I'm more like you. I have two. I'm more of a quality time person, and I like the physical touch.
Okay.
Nikki does a good job of that. I mean, we spend a lot of quality time together, so we definitely have that in the bag. But, I mean, sometimes with our schedule, it's not a lot of time for physical touch at the end of the day, but I think we make do with the time we have. We make the most of it.
Okay, so for Nikki, it's quality time. Did I hear that correctly?
That's correct.
Okay, and for Jay, there's two, quality time and physical touch. Okay, and I think I heard you say that you guys do pretty well with kind of communicating that with each other based on what they need.
Exactly, that and just being around each other, just, you know, learning each other's mannerisms is big, you know, kind of observing, paying attention, you know, of course communication is the key. Just sitting around and looking at, taking a step back sometimes and thinking about, you know, how this other person would view this, and not just thinking about how you would view things. It's a big one also.
Right. Okay. And for Shamika and Sean, same question?
I'd say for me, mine would probably be acts of service and the quality time. I probably try to do more things for my wife more than anything, as far as things that help out around the house, or anything that she needs. I try to help out on that end, and we try to spend good quality time with each other on the weekends when we can. I know my schedule is busy during the week, and hers is as well too. So quality time is important to both of us.
Okay,
hi, This is Shamika. I would say that my primary love language is physical touch, and as well as quality time. So I've got, we both share one of them, which is the quality time. And like Sean said, we do try to spend as much time as we can over the weekend. We still have a date night, so we try to choose one night a week, usually a Friday or Saturday, just to have that date night and, you know, keep things fun. And so we both communicate our love languages with each other, and we first discovered those right after getting married. We received the book, The Five Love Languages, and so I actually read that book on an airplane coming from our honeymoon, so we got started on that book right away, so we've been able to communicate our needs with each other.
Okay, and I want to share something. I think we have our third couple back in, but I want to share just a little bit about the two couples on, and I hope this is okay, but I'm going to start with Shamika and Sean, but I was talking to Shamika about doing the show, and I thought it was so awesome. She said that she was cooking. It was her night to cook, and, of course, my ears picked up on that. It's your night to cook, so I asked her, do you share cooking? And being newlywed, you know, they do share this, and this was absolutely amazing to me because it's not just a one-person job. Marriage takes work, and it takes a team, and it takes consistency, and like Nikki said, communication. So I was just in awe, just knowing that, you know, Sean would be open and just keep it real. A man, he is a man. He is open to getting in the kitchen, cooking and sharing this night, not saying, oh, no, that's your job and so forth. And so by the time, you know, kids come in the picture, you need someone that is willing to share and not look at it, this is your job and this is mine, but we are a team. So I thought that was very, very interesting. And as I talk with Nikki, I know Nikki, and I've known Nikki for a very long time. I've not had the opportunity to meet Jay, but I shared this with Nikki, so I hope it's okay, Nikki. But I shared it with, I saw that her brother had put on Facebook that, you know, for the man who makes my sister do this and that, you know, big ups to him, basically. And I laugh because I can so relate. I see Nikki as this strong, strong woman, and I shared this with her, not saying that there's no man out there for her. It's just that she knew what she wanted. She knew that she would need a strong man who knew that she was a strong woman and what she needed. And I think a lot of men are intimidated by that. But once we find that type of man, it seems Nikki knew exactly what to do. Okay, I can relax a little bit here. I can step back because I have a man that I'm okay, I'm stepping back to allow him to be in the forefront, to lead and to share my life with. So to see that and see how they interact with one another, and the only way I've seen it, of course, is by Facebook right now, but just to see that and how he opens up to her, he's not afraid to step up and be that. That's just what I have gathered. So looking forward to meeting him. But it's just wonderful to see love works, and when you communicate and share with each other what your needs are and how can I be here for you, how can I make this world great for both of us. In order to do that, you have to step over that line. You basically have to erase that line, I think, and say, this is our world, let's share this line together. So I just wanted to share a little bit about that. I'm going to check and see if we have Ken and Barbie on, and if we do, you're on air with us, so you can let us know that you're there.
Yes, we're here.
Okay. Well, just to start over for you guys, we wanted you to share a little bit about you, you know, married, dating, children, anything about us, about your relationship that you want to share, and then I'll give you the questions that the other couples have answered thus far.
Okay. Well, we've been married for 5 years, known each other for 6, dated for 9 months. We have 2 kids, 2 boys, we have 5 kids in all. 2 boys together and 3 other beautiful children, too, but I didn't birth them, but they're mine, too. And we just have a great family. I can't. Do you want to say anything, Ken? He's very quiet. My husband, and I was at a nail shop before I started going to a different lady, and this one Asian lady, she said, your husband don't say much. I love him. I like your husband. He don't talk. You can get what you want. And I said, just because he doesn't talk, does that mean I can get what I want? But he doesn't say that much. But when it's time to communicate, we communicate. And that's something that I like. And one of the things that I could piggyback off of is that we, the couple that's the newlyweds, cooking and taking turns is a great thing. We would do whoever got home first. That's who started the dinner. So that was always good. So communicating and teamwork, we're about that all the time, especially when it comes to taking care of household chores and just the house period.
Mm-hmm. Okay, wonderful. Now, tell us about your love language. Is that, do do you know what your love language is, and vice versa? And was that something that you had to learn, or did you communicate that before going into the relationship, or during the time that the relationship started? And then how do you work with one another to make sure that you're meeting the need of that love language?
Okay, that's one of, during our technical difficulties and our children difficulties, that's what I'm going to call it, that's why we were trying to get on. That's one thing my husband wanted to be able to hear, is he was trying to hear about the love languages. I was trying to let him learn without me, you know,
okay,
being the forefront and tell. So could you repeat it?
Sure. I named five of them, and it's affirmation, which is basically words. You know, it could be, you look really nice today, or something like that. A personal touch. Of course, we know what that is. And then acts of service or kindness. And I explained of an example that the book provided where the husband is asked, you know, does your wife love you? And he said, sure, she cooks, she cleans, she washes, you know, my clothes, she irons and so forth, and she takes great care of the kids. So that was his acts of kindness and service is his language. Then quality time, and then gifts. So affirmation, personal touch, acts of service or kindness, quality time, and gifts.
Okay, this is Ken. I'll go first with that. For, I think we're saying, as far as the physical touch, I leave early for work, so I always give her a kiss before I leave. That's one thing I always make sure I do. And for the acts of kindness, I've been in relationships before, and this may not seem like much, but she always, for dinner, fixes my plate and puts it on the table. It may seem like minute to you, but no one in any of my relationships before had ever done that before for me before.
Okay. So would you consider that one to be an act of service or kindness? That's just a way of her showing acts, you know, kindness and kind of taking care of you that way?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Anything else on the love languages?
I would say that the personal touch is something that I would go with as far as we're concerned, because something that we said that we would never not do is hug each other, and we said that we would hug each other every day, because that was the first way that we actually would communicate with each other, is we would give each other a hug. And so hugs became very major, and if he would come home and say, hey, well, I didn't hug you today, or you didn't hug me today, it would be something that we would say to each other, because ever since when we were friends, we actually just would hug and say, you know, talk to you later, see you later, or whatever, but we make sure that we hug each other. That's one major thing for us, is hugging. And
okay.
That's one of the major things. But he does a lot for me. We don't have enough time for me to even name all the different things, acts of kindness, the service. He does a lot. And that's it in a nutshell. He's a great man.
Okay, wonderful. Well, I have a question for everyone. And for our callers, listeners, and those of you that are listening by chat, feel free to submit your questions by way of chat. And for those of you who are listening online, just please select the number one if you have a question or a comment. But I'm going to start here, and we may have kind of touched on this, but I have a list of questions, and I'll start with this one. What does, in your personal opinion, what does it take to build a healthy relationship or marriage? What is that? Is there one thing that you think it absolutely takes in order to build that relationship? Kind of the foundation of it. So, and I guess we'll come back to Jay and Nikki.
First and foremost, you got to put God first in your relationship, I think. Second, you're going to have to be willing to compromise a lot.
Okay.
going to need a ton of communication.
And, I mean, just being able to listen to one another. And, you know, sometimes we tend to reflect back on things that's happened previously in our lives and use that, you know, that prior knowledge. But trying to, you know, being willing to do away with what you have done in the past and try something different. In other words, stepping outside of the box sometimes. That's a great way.
Okay. Okay, stepping outside of the box. I like that. Okay. All right. For Shamika and Sean?
We were actually talking about this recently, but we both agree that, number one, keeping God first, having God first. And so, you know, it's very important to us to, you know, worship together and, you know, attend services together, and we're in the process of doing more services around the church and possibly together around the church. And so that's number one. Number two, communication. And I think that Sean and I have both done a great job with keeping those lines of communication open. Pretty much on everything, and especially, you know, tying that into the love language, you know, we've been very open and able to communicate those things as well. So, number one, God, and number two, communication, for sure.
Okay. Okay. And that's pretty much for both of you, because you all, you say you just kind of had this conversation, so that's pretty much both for both of you.
Right.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Okay. Okay. And for Barbie and Ken, same question. What do you think it takes to build a healthy relationship or marriage?
We are in agreement with putting God first. And with putting God first, there's an umbrella. So that umbrella is God. Up under there, you have communication. You have praying together. We believe that you should pray together throughout the day and before you go to bed. So, but we know that just by saying putting God first, everything falls into place. Communication will fall, praying together will fall, working together will fall. Everything will fall in place as long as He's put first, and everything else will just fall the way it should.
Well, that was going to be my next question. That's a bit further down, but because everyone had putting God first, I was going to ask that question. Do you all pray together? Because, you know, we've all heard a family that prays together stays together. So that was going to be my next question. And then we do have a caller, but I'd like for Ken and Barbie, you all have answered that question. I'd like to kind of go back to Shamika and Sean, and then to Jay and Nikki, do you all pray together? And is it a consistent thing? And if not, is it something that you would like to grow to do? And then do you attend church? And if so, do you attend church together? So if you all don't mind sharing a little bit on that.
Well, this is Nikki and Jay. We do pray, of course, prior to meals and things like that. But I must say, praying together, you know, before we go to bed is something that we would like to, you know, do more of. We do our individual prayers. But praying together, we're looking, you know, to make sure that we're doing that together. As far as going to church, we get, you know, my schedule is crazy on the weekends. I play, you know, travel ball. I'm doing all kinds of things. So when we do have the time to get to church, we definitely do that. But, yes, yeah, something that I think there's always room for improvement. It's something that we want to work on getting better at.
Okay. Okay. Wonderful. And Don and Shamika, do you want to tackle that question as well?
We actually don't pray together. We do. We go to the same church, attend the same service, and we also do something called a life group, which is about once a month. We get together as couples with other couples there in the church as well. I have a thing where I do my daily devotional. I've been doing it for years before I get ready to start the day. And she does hers as well, too. So I don't think there's anything wrong with for praying together, but I think for me, I like to just still keep it. That's my time to myself, between me and God. I like to keep it separate. And then sometimes if I do feel that if we have something that's urgent that we need to pray about, I feel comfortable, very comfortable praying with my wife together on.
Okay.
But if it's something that's daily, that's something that we go through.
Okay. So is that something
and I'll add something to that.
Okay. That's
another thing that we have been open about our communication on. Of course, going into marriage 6 months ago, we had talked about that. That was a part of some of the discussion questions for our premarital counseling that we were going through. And I actually felt the opposite. I felt that we should pray together. But knowing that my partner is, you know, kind of private in that area, I keep to myself on my prayer as well. But, you know, I have that prayer inside of me that we will come together and pray together on a daily basis. But it's a thing where I'm not pushing him into it. He knows my feelings on it, and I know his feelings on it. And so we just kind of have that mutual respect at this point about it. And then hopefully in the future things will change. But if not, that respect is still there.
Okay, wonderful. And that's kind of bringing that line together, understanding each other's world, and giving it time. So,
right.
Well, we have some callers. I'm going to, and I didn't say this, but the way that we will bring you in is I will give the area code that you are calling from and the last four digits of the number that you are calling from. So if you don't mind, just state your question. Let us know if you want the entire panel to answer or if you're directing it to one specific couple, a particular couple. So right now I'm going to bring in someone from the 901 area code, and your last four digits is 6508, and you're on the air with us. 901-6508 is the last four digits of your number.
Hello?
Hello? Caller, you're on the air with
us. Hey.
Hi, how are you?
This is Chris.
Hi, Chris.
Hey, Mr. Keeney.
Hi, thank you for listening to us tonight. You have a question or a comment?
Well, I just called here, me and Crystal, so I had came in on the part when y'all was talking about, you know, keeping God first and so forth. And I was going to add to that. I was going to say, like, have y'all ever seen a four-stage bowl fountain? Have you ever seen those four-stage bowl fountains where you got the small bowl, the water comes out of it, and then it flows over to the bigger bowl down?
Yes.
It's like, you know, I was thinking of that. It's like, you know, you put God first. It's like you have to fill our first relationship first. We have to fill our first bowl first, and once we have that filled, then that's when all the other rest of the bowls can be filled. So, like, you know, when we keep God first and we have, when we be complete in God, you know, solid in God's relationship, you know what I'm saying? Then all else will follow. All else will, you know what I'm saying, fall into place no matter what. You know what I'm saying? And that's when that verse comes, when it says, seek ye first kingdom, God, and righteousness, and all things are added to you. If you focus on the relationship, you know what I'm saying, and giving too much attention to the relationship other than God, then it's not going to, it's going to be on a rocky road. But when we keep him first, things are just going to go smoothly.
Okay. Okay, and do you have a question for either of the couples?
Well, let's see.
And if not, maybe I think you're just agreeing that putting God first is really that, like one of our couples said, that's the umbrella, and all of them shared the same opinion about putting God first, and it sounds like they each are doing that, which is probably why they're having such a positive thing, a positive relationship. And saying that, what do you do when only if there's only one person that maybe one of our couples want to answer this, but what do you do when there's one person who feels the need or does not really put God first? Or, you know,
well,
like what do you do if someone doesn't want to tithe, if your mate doesn't want to tithe, if you go to church, or if you don't or may not want to give? Does anybody have an opinion on that, since we say, you know, put God first, and that means giving an account, applying his word to our life? Then what do you do if you're unequally yoked in that area?
Yeah, that's what the question I was going to ask. I was going to ask, what is y'all opinion of what unequal, what that actually means? But to answer that, like, I won't force it on the person, you know, if it's one-sided like that. All I do is just, like, just lead by example and allow my life to, you know, attract them, you know what I'm saying, and just continue to dwell in God's glory, because when we indwell with his glory and his presence, you know, it's attractive, you know, and once we just, and pray for that person and just, you know, just continue to lead by example and pray for the person and show them love and stuff like that. And most of all, you know, so just that godly love that alone would have just attracts, you know, that person, you know, because they're going to say, oh, okay, I really see the fruit.
Okay.
You know, they see the fruit. You know what I'm saying? Then that's when they're going to be like, oh, okay. You know, because you can't force anything. They're going to have to want, because this is, I mean, this is a matter of free will. You know,
okay.
They have to want it.
Okay, and does any one of our couples want to address that? If you've been in that situation, it doesn't sound like any of you are.
Right.
So, and that's a good thing. But if you have some advice on that, maybe in from previous relationships, I know from my standpoint, that's kind of one of those things that you just have to pray your way through. If you're past the point of, say, if you're past the point of stepping out, I think sometimes you just have to pray your way through things like that. And I think it's like one of the couples, Sean and Shamika, not that that's an out of balance, but with Shamika being okay with knowing that, okay, my husband chooses to pray in his own way. Not that he does not pray, but he chooses to pray and acknowledge God in his own way. And for her to take account and be okay with that, I think is awesome. But it's a little different when you have a spouse or a significant other that says, no, I don't. That's just not a part of life right now for me. And just as easy as we go into it with them, there's been some cases where that mate would kind of turn away from that because things have happened or do happen, and they'll turn away from that. So, again, I think you just have to kind of pray your way through. Well, thanks, Chris. We have another call, and I want to get them in. And before we do that, I'm getting some texts that it seems to be a little staticky, and it's kind of coming in. If that continues, what I may do is I may disconnect and just call back in myself, but no one will have to hang up. Everybody can just stay there. So we'll see. So if you guys, Tasha, if you can just continue to text me and let me know if that continues, and we'll just kind of see if we can start over without disconnecting. But thank you, Chris, for your call.
I got one question that I want to answer that I want to.
Okay.
I want to say, what does one accord mean to y'all? What does that actually mean? What like looks like?
Okay, so what does being on one accord mean?
You mean as far as marriage? You talking about as far as marriage? You talking about just dating? You talking about marriage, or are you talking about just dating?
Just like both, basically.
Well, I mean, I think it's kind of similar to being yoked and unequally yoked. I think that if you're on one accord, you know that you're on the same mindset with your partner, that who you're with. I mean, I don't think you can be wanting one thing and the other person wants another thing. It's not going to be, if you guys are on the same level, then I just don't think it's not going to work out. You know, and that could just, and not only just religion, it could be, I mean, it could be work-wise, physically-wise, everything, I think. I mean, number of children, could be anything, you know.
But does that mean that if we have differences, that we might have differences or not, or?
Well, you're gonna have differences with anybody. I mean, there's no way you're gonna meet somebody that you, or we're gonna think the same about everything. I think that, but at the same time, you gotta pick up those core values and those core beliefs that you gotta be on the same page with somebody with. like for me, that the person that I had to be with had to be a Christian. We had to have that same thing in common. If we didn't, then I knew it was going to be a lot of problems and it probably wouldn't work. Or I wanted somebody who, for me, didn't have prior children because I didn't want to go into a marriage scratch with us having our own family together. Some people are different. I mean, it just depends on what you want and the things that are important to you.
Okay.
And this is Tammy. If I could just add a little bit, that's why we've not talked about this, but I do have a question about that. But that's why it's important to know who you are, what your needs are. When you can love yourself and know what you need, what will bring value to your life, what things you do when no one's looking, what things are you moved by, and vice versa, loving yourself. When you do that or when you're there, it should not you perceive and you see things differently. You're not changing who you are just for the sake of having a man or vice versa. So differences, as he said, differences are great, and when those differences are about, they should make you stronger. They should complement some of your weaknesses. And you're always, there's not going to be anyone that is exactly like you. But there are some things, as he said, that was important to him. It's who he is. It's just a part of him, and that's what he wanted. And so that's what he waited for and looked for. And I think that's important to know who you are and what you want and not go towards something for the sake of, okay, I'd rather give in than have no one. Because
right.
Down the road,
you have to make sure. That's what my dad said. He's like, you got to make sure, you know what you want. You know what I'm saying? And he was like, you don't give in to somebody else like ways that's contrary or that'll contradict who you are. Basically, change your whole frame mentally to be with somebody else. And, you know, like I said, that person has to be, we have to be on one accord. You know, you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, you have to be on
yeah.
one accord with self first, too, though. I think that first you have to be on one accord with yourself. You have to be happy with who you are for the most part. You have to be happy before someone can come along and make, you know, add to your happiness. And sometimes we go into relationships with all these needs or wanting that person to fulfill our unresolved issues, so to speak. And there's just no way. There's no way. Not saying it cannot be done, but that's very difficult. And by the time it happens, the two people have fallen so out of love and they really don't know each other until there's nothing there. So you have to know, my answer would be, you have to know who you are and what you stand for and what you want before you can bring someone into your relationship.
So basically,
it takes
you have to have
two whole happy people.
They have to have value in ourselves.
I'm sorry?
And I said kind of just like, you know, we have to have value in ourselves first.
Right, exactly.
Okay.
Otherwise, you're going to look for that person to bring value to you, and no one can really give you that on a consistent basis. And when you feel like they're not able to meet your needs, that will allow other things, and so bitterness and everything else starts to come in. So when you feel like I love you and I'm here because I want to be, not because I need you so bad and I can't sustain outside of you. So otherwise, it's just disaster. Marriage is too, and relationship is too difficult as it is. Trying to merge a life, it takes work. So anything that you can minimize or deplete from that makes it that much greater with going forward. So does one of the other couples want a chance at that? Jay, Nikki, or anybody?
No? This is Nikki, and I definitely agree that you have to come in not on just knowing what it is that you want and what you're looking for. If you sell it for anything else, it's just a waste of both of you guys' time. So, yeah, I definitely agree your value and not lowering that because you're going to put you in a predicament where you could spend so much time trying to make the other person or find something in the other person that's just not there.
Okay. Well, thank you, Chris. And what I'm going to do, I'm going to go on just a quick break. I know we're coming almost into an hour. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to call back in because we still have the static, you guys, and I just want to make sure that it's not because I have a lot of people pulled in at one time. So what I'm going to do, okay. I'm going to put some music on, and I'm going to just disappear for a short second. I'm going to come back. So if you want to take this time to take a quick break, get you some water or something, I'm going to call back in. So don't hang up. Stay with us. I'm going to call back in and then see if that helps because I am getting that we still have a little static going on. I want to make sure we get to hear all of this, okay? So you guys give me just a few minutes. All right. Okay, guys, is that better? Someone can say something for me and let me know.
I can still hear the static, and I hear it most when one of our guest speakers is speaking. I think it's who is the name? Was it Nikki? Nikki.
I was told that we're having trouble, that they're having trouble hearing Nikki and Jay. So I'm not sure. That's what the text has come in. So. You think, Nikki and Jay, do you all want to hang up and call back in and see if that helps?
Okay, we can try to do that.
Okay. We'll give them a minute and just kind of, I want to make sure Bobby and Ken is on with us, right?
Yes, we're here.
Okay, all right. So we have everybody on. We're going to give them just a minute to call back in. And what we'll do is move forward with some more questions. And we do have another caller from the 678 area code, the last 43324. I'm going to pull you in here in just a second. It may be. Okay, Nikki and Jay, are you on with us?
Yes.
Okay, I think that's a little
better.
I don't hear it anymore. Okay, that's okay. And we also have a caller on air from the 678 area code. The last four is 3324. Call, you're on the air with us.
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, you're on the air with us. You have a comment or a question?
Yes. The Odoms, are they still there?
Yes,
we are.
Okay, I'm not sure how many years they've been married, but the old cliche is like the 7-year itch or the honeymoon is over. I'd like to know, how do you keep the marriage vibrant? Do you go on dates or just read the Songs of Solomon, or how do you keep it vibrant?
Well, I'm trying to tell you how. And he's messing with me now, so that's possibility. That's the first way we do. But we do a lot of different things. We do date. We don't date as much as we used to. We date more at home now because we have a 10-month-old and a 2-year-old. However,
that's interesting. How is
however,
that date at home?
However, we date. And we switch it up. If anybody knows me, I am not going to look the same every day for my husband.
Okay.
I don't do that, and the reason I don't do that is because, you know, I expect for him to do some different things to keep things spiced, so I do that. I may put on a long wig. I may put on a short wig. I'm going to be a different person no matter what, doing different things for my husband all the time. And that's basically what I do. I'm just a different person, and he'll do an act for me, and I'll do an act for him. We love to have fun. We have a lot of fun just together, and we entertain each other. And I think that's something you have to do. You have to get to know each other and be funny and laugh and play games and just enjoy each other's company, because if you think about it, marriage is dating. You're just dating each other every day in a different way. And he wants to say something. Hold on.
And one thing that I do, I haven't done in a minute, but show up with a gift, not because it's Valentine's Day, not because it's your birthday, not because it's Christmas. Just show up with a gift. That's it.
That's so nice. Wow.
Okay. Well, wonderful question. What about, does any of the other couples want to kind of take a shot at that? I know, Sean and Shamika, you're newly married, and I've seen some of the things that Jay does, because, again, he's so open with it. Well, what do you all want to share? Because I think that's very important. I think that so often, even sometimes in dating, people get comfortable with one another, and they stop entertaining, they stop dating, they stop going out. I see women who will go to bed with the big rollers and the socks and so on, and the man's like, who is this? Where did this just come from? When did this happen? So what do you do? I like the fact that Barbie says that she kind of dresses different or keeps things kind of different. What are some of the things that you all do, John, Shamika, and Jay and Nikki?
Well, me and myself personally, I like to keep it spontaneous. I mean, it may be as simple as she might come home to a bouquet of flowers, or I may go to the extreme and draw her a candlelit bubble bath. I mean, it just depends on how I want her to feel. So I definitely agree with the other couples and the caller as far as keeping it spontaneous and keeping the spice in your relationship. That's definitely important.
Okay. Wonderful. Okay, Sean and Shamika?
I say I try to do more. We do try to date more, and I try to do more. Try to do a few surprises every here and now and then. I'm not really a big gift giver, but I'll try to do more things as far as if she's had a long day, try to clean up the house some and try to make sure that things are in some right order. Because that's something that are important to her, and I think the main thing is that whatever you can go out of your way to do that you don't normally do is something that she finds that she likes as well, and that's something that she really appreciates. But and I think it's just about sacrifice. And I think if you're making see that, I think it goes a long way.
Okay, and thank you, caller. I know that I left the caller. Thank you. That was a great question. Do you have anything else you want to share?
Yes, I wanted to know a little bit more with Ken and Barbie about their dating at home. Now, that's kind of unusual. I like that idea because you don't always have to go out to date. So what are some of the date types you do at home, and about how much time is involved?
He's yelling several things, but he was talking about a dinner. We may have T-bone at home if we can't get to Outback or Longhorn. So we'll grill that. We just had lamb chops together last week. Definitely getting our favorite foods and eating those at home together, getting the kids sleep so that we can do that together. Maybe having a slumber party, and our slumber party consists of us laying on the floor together just because it's quiet and the kids are asleep and we can cuddle and be up under one another, us getting a movie and being able to sit in peace. Everybody, if you have children, you understand that is kind of slim. Unless your kids are older, it's better. But when you have smaller children, it's harder. So we do, we'll watch a movie in like no time, but we like to kind of veg out in front of the television and hold each other, or we just do just a lot of holding, touching, affection. Those things, you know, they lead up to good things. So
okay,
we do
well,
as much as that as possible. But we do. We entertain each other. Sometimes we entertain each other just in our closet. I mean, and we have a nice sized closet. We'll lay a sheet down and enjoy each other's company. It's just utilizing every spot in your house. You already pay for it, pay that mortgage. You might as well get the feel of each part of your house.
That's a great idea. Okay, well, thank you so much.
You're
great
welcome.
Question. Thank you again, caller. Now, I have a deeper question, and I know it's getting late there for you all, so don't just let me know when you guys need to exit, but I do have a question. How do you all handle conflicts, differences, how challenges when you disagree? How do you handle when someone has been offended, things like that? How do you handle arguments? And for Sean and Shamika, have you had your first big argument? We want to know. So how did you handle it?
Okay. Definitely, we have had our first argument and our first disagreement, and that's one thing that that's still a work in progress for us. I thank God so much that Sean is really laid back and easygoing, whereas me, I'm still at that point where I'm trying to get my way on a lot of things. We're still trying to figure out, you know, how far we can go with each other. And so Sean has been, I don't know, he's just really laid back and kind of go with the flow, and he kind of lets me have those moments, you know.
I call them those female moments.
Exactly, yes. He allows me to have those moments, and, you know, he'll kind of disappear into another room, you know. And then, you know, a little while later, an hour later or so, you know, he'll come check on me, and usually by then everything's okay, you know. So I noticed that he doesn't feed into that attention-seeking moment, you know, that I have sometimes. So it's a work in progress as far as the conflict and dealing with those. But so far, you know, we have been learning to really come to an agreement. We've come to an agreement quickly on a lot of things instead of holding them and, you know, thinking about them. So that's one good thing, is that, you know, we're quick to resolve things.
Now, you said something interesting before I go to Jay and Nikki. You said those attention-seeking moments, and I want every man to make sure that they hear that, especially you, Sean. Attention-seeking moments, because I think every woman has them. Sometimes I think, and sometimes we don't understand sometimes what's going on with us. We just need a little bit more TLC. That's one of those times where we may need that personal touch or that just something, but it's amazing. I call that attention-seeking moment. So it is important that every man realizes that we do have those, and sometimes we don't understand them, and we don't expect you to, but that's when if you just give us a hug or a kiss and say, okay, or something, acknowledge that we are having one of those moments. So Jay and Nikki, you want to take that question as well? How do you handle your challenges?
I think definitely I agree with the time apart. Just give me a little time. You know, he knows I need to gather my thoughts, get my attitude together, and, you know, try to reflect, you know, and see how I'm going to approach or how we're going to approach whatever conflict it is we're having. Because I am a bit of a hothead. I do have a quick temper, and he knows that, so he'll give me my time. I'm sorry.
No, I thought we had lost you, but you're on. Okay.
Okay, I heard someone talking. But, yeah, just a timeout period.
Then after we gather our thoughts and kind of analyze whatever it is we're having a conflict about, then we're able to talk about it with a little bit clearer heads instead of just firing off at each other, you know, being in each other's presence when something is going on. And we definitely make it a point, you know, try not to go to bed angry, of course. Just talk it out, because whatever it is, probably something that we could have totally avoided, and or just someone could have said something a little bit better. You know, it's something normally minor, nothing real major. So that's basically how we try to handle the situation.
Okay. And Jay, did you have anything to add on that?
Just basically, I agree with Nikki. We definitely try not to go to bed angry. We always try to resolve the problem. Like you said, it could be something could have been said the wrong way. You take it the wrong way, or you expected something to go a different way. But it's normally when you get to the bottom of it, it's some small something that was overlooked. And once you talk it out, you find out what the problem is, you kiss and make up, everything's generally okay.
Okay. All right. Okay, the lines are still open, you all. I know we did lose someone while we were waiting, but we just took a little bit more time maybe than that person had, so feel free to call back in. Now, I want, and anything you all want to share as well, but I want to ask you, how have you dealt with, I know pride is sometimes, and that may go with that first chat or that arguing or the first really disagreement. How do you handle pride? I know pride is a deep-rooted seed in most people, some people, and then in particular, we take things into relationships based on our past. How do you handle pride? And as you answered, insecurities, and I know women seem to deal with more, have more insecurities than men, but if I could have the men answer this first, how do you deal with pride in a relationship? Is pride something that you all have had to deal with? If so, how has it challenged your relationships, and how do you deal with it? And if it's not, that's a good thing. You could share that. We can start with whoever. Just go at it. Samika-san, do you want to try that first?
I know you said the men to speak first, but Sean is saying he's drawing a blank on this one. Maybe we hadn't had too much of this come up.
And I think if you communicate, I think if you all, it may not be that any of our couples have, because it sounds like you guys are on a good road or going down a good road here, because you have God in your life, you both pray, all the time, and you seem to communicate and have established some ground rules as to, like Nikki said, kind of step, Jay knows that she just may need some time, and vice versa. But it sounds like you've come up with ways to allow yourselves to be vulnerable. And I think when pride is allowed to come in most cases, someone doesn't feel that they are loved equally or that they are giving more than they're receiving consistently, because there's going to be times where you certainly someone is going to give a little bit more. But I think I just want to ask that question because I hear a lot of people saying that, you know, they have too much pride to even say sometimes I'm sorry or I was wrong, which brings up a question. Have you all had to say you're sorry, or do you go and say, listen, I was wrong? Or how do you handle those times when you know that you have wronged your mate? How do you handle those I'm sorry? So what do? Do you just say that I'm sorry, or how do you handle that?
What Shamika does is that, usually when it's something that she's done, she'll cool off for a little while, and then later on she'll come back and say, I'm sorry, and then, you know, just kind of brush it off, and it is what it is, and I'll try to do the same myself too. So one of the other couples said it, giving your time is the main thing, giving the space is the main thing, and let yourself be, because you can't get into things when right at the moment. Sometimes you just, your pride will get in the way, and you want to make sure that you prove your point and have them have them go over to your side as well, too, and they're trying to do the same thing. So.
Okay. Okay. Someone else want to take a shot at it as well? Jay and Nikki?
Yeah, I think the pride thing is definitely more is a challenge for me. I guess the saying I'm sorry, but, you know, of course, when I recognize something that has been, you know, has offended him or has affected him in any type of way, I make sure we kind of discuss it. So I try to make sure it doesn't occur again, you know. I won't end up having the same argument about the same thing, you know, because if you have the same argument about the same thing, it's definitely a problem, and nobody's willing to change it. So you know, I miss all those I'm sorrys, and, you know, I apologize if I did this, I did that. I'm just trying to make the corrections in the process so we won't repeat it again, you know.
Okay, okay. Jay, anything to add on that?
We all have pride. We all should learn how to put in our back pocket at times. But, I mean, we all know that that's hard, but somebody's got to be the adult in the relationship and take the stand and do that sometimes. Whether it be the man or the woman, I mean, I guess it just takes somebody being a bigger person and realizing that.
Okay. Okay. And it's something that has to be done, particularly just sharing life with someone it's an all day, every day, it's a lifetime thing. So we have to be willing to do that. So Ken and Barbie, anything on that before going to the next question? And then I'll have some of the people that's online waiting.
Yes, this is Ken. Now, the last guy, I can't think of his name, but
Jay.
I kind of don't agree with him when he says someone has to be the adult in the relationship. Well, with me and Barbie, I think both of us are adults. Therefore, what I think, we shouldn't try to accuse one another of what happened. What we should do is come together as adults and try to figure out how we're going to work through it instead of accusing each other or saying one was wrong and who was right. That just
okay, and I think what he was saying by someone stepping up and doing that, because I know for me, I can have some childish ways sometimes, and I think women can, and it's not saying that they're not an adult, but it's like someone has to kind of step up. That's kind of what I got out of it. Someone has to step up and say, well, I'm going to choose to let you have your moment, and then we'll get back on this later. But if it reminds me of a time when, and Jay, you can comment on that as well, but it reminds me of going through, I went to a divorce recovery class, and this couple was in, and they weren't there for divorce. They were there because they were starting a divorce class, and they had this rule to where when they were in an argument, they had both committed to, we will pray. We both will individually pray. And the guy said, this one particular time, his wife was just adamant that she was not going to pray. She wanted to argue. She wanted to get this out and get this over. Well, he followed the rules. He continued to pray to the point where all she could do, and it took a while, he said, but all she could do after a while was laugh, because he was not going there with her. So in that sense, he kind of was the adult in the situation, because she was flipping out. She wanted to get this resolved, where he saw that we don't have what it takes to address this in a proper way at this time, because emotions were flying. So that's how I kind of took that. And Jay, you can kind of comment on that if you like.
Well, yeah, I'm just going to jump in for Jay real quick. You know, it's that old saying, sometimes you have to give up the right for the wrong sometimes. And I think that's more so what he's saying. It didn't matter, you know, about who was right or wrong. It's just which one of us are going to step up in whatever situation we're dealing with to say, okay, I'm going to be the one to start this resolution about whatever it is that we're, you know, this conflict resolution that needs to be had, or this conversation that needs to be had. So that's what he kind of meant by that, you know, not necessarily, oh, I'm the adult and you're acting like a kid type of situation,
right.
You know, nothing like that.
Right.
It's just that I'm giving up, even if I feel like my stance, my viewpoint is the right one at the time, I'm going to be the one to say, hey, let's go ahead and talk about this. This is the point. Here it is. So that's
it's
all
the wrong time. It's kind of the wrong time to address it. I like what you just said. Give up the right. I like that.
Right,
so it's kind of the wrong time to address it. Okay. Okay. Good point. Good
okay.
Point.
Now that you put it that way, I agree with it.
Communication. That's a prime example how we can, and especially women, we can hear. We hear things differently. I read a book where it said women listen with their hearts, and that is so true. I think a lot of times we do hear with our heart, and we take it and we go with it. But that's a great example, people, of just communicating and getting understanding of what someone means, because sometimes we don't always say it. You know, we again, going back to that apple, I go get you an apple because you tell me you want an apple, but I may bring back a green apple, and you hate green apples. So communication, I think, is key, is key. So does Jacosta want to share anything on that, or we can move right along, and then I want to give all of you the opportunity if you need to go, because I know, like I said, I know some of our callers are in the Eastern time, so we won't be on much, much longer, but if anybody has a question, that we have a lot of people on listening, so if you have questions or comments, please select that. You have to select the number one. And if your number is selected and I've not pulled you in, you may need to reselect it to let me know you're there. Nikki and Jay, how are you for time?
We can probably a few more minutes. You know, we have an early start in the morning, but we'll hang in there for a few more minutes.
Okay. And Ken and Bobby, how are you?
Oh, we're just fine.
Okay. And Sean and Shamika, how are you?
We can probably take about one more question, and we'll probably have to go.
Okay. Okay, well, let me get a good one in. And did we, because this was one that, okay, well, let me ask you this. Maybe two more guys. Bear with me just a little bit. Does your parents have more influence over you than your spouse? How do you handle in-laws? Does their opinions create or separate you in some sense? Have you brought some of those things into your home? Do you include your in-laws into your marriage? So that's one. And then I'll go to the second one. I think you all be able to answer the second one pretty quickly. So if anybody that wants to take that one, how do you handle in-laws? And if you want to add friends to that, because that's kind of the next question, how do you handle in-laws and friends? Maybe if you have different friends, what do you do with your single friends, the friends that are not married, you know, now?
Well, I guess I can start off with that one. I want to start because I listen to what, you know, other people may say, but I don't implement that into my relationship. And a lot of times I do feel, because they know me, they know my personality, most of the time they tend to keep their comments to themselves because they trust in my judgment anyway, and my ability to be able to make sound decisions. You know, if there are times when I ask for advice, you know, I know who to go to for that particular advice, but I very rarely do that, to be real honest with you, because I know Jay better than they know Jay, and, of course, Jay know me better than his people may know me. So we kind of deal with each other on an individual basis. We know how to fix it. But as far as the single friends things, I really don't deal with a lot of people. I'm so busy and I'm out and about a whole lot. But even then, I don't allow them to comment on anything that has to do with myself or Jay, because this is our relationship. And I don't implement any of those things. You know, I don't even offer my advice to them about their relationships. Now, of course, they do ask sometimes, and, you know, I may or may not provide an opinion about it, depending on what it is. But most of the time, I'm just there to listen to them, and I don't share my information at all. So, you know, that's how I treat that. I think my relationship is my relationship. I'm the person that's in this relationship, so I'm the person that's going to, you know, go through and deal with everything that has anything to do with this.
Okay. I think that's very wise. I think that's very wise and very well said. Shamika and Sean, you want to get that one?
Yeah, I think as far as the in-laws are concerned, I think that we don't make it a point to go to our in-laws if we have a disagreement about something, because if you go to your in-laws, they're really going to have the best interest. They're going to tell you something, maybe it's going to be more of a a biased opinion. I think if I go to my mom or dad about something, they're gonna want to do what's best for me, because they raised me. And the same thing for my wife's parents as well. So we think that we really just try to keep that separate. We really do. I think it can cause more bad than good. I mean,
okay.
And then as far as the friends are concerned, I mean, I guess with us being young, a lot of my friends are still single. Same thing for Shamika's friends as well too. So with my friends, they try to respect our marriage by they don't try to call me and ask me to go out to different places, clubs, things that we used to hang out. But I usually have to give them a call to try to hang out and things of that nature. And we talked about it and we understand it. We understand the reason. They just don't want to disrespect my wife and vice versa. So and I think that Shamika's really good too about she doesn't let anybody, which any of her friends do it, but if any of her friends were to say anything about me, she doesn't allow it, and I don't allow my friends to say anything about my wife. So I think we just try to keep it. If we keep it that way, it's been going good for us so far.
Okay. Shamika, is that kind of the same for you? Although I have a couple of comments on what Sean said, but Shamika, you have anything on that?
I totally agree 100% with Sean, and so far so good. You know, again, we're only 6 months in this. However, it seems to be working for us to keep things separate, you know, and not take a lot of the negativity to our families and things like that. Mm-hmm. So we just kind of keep it private, and we have established some relationships with other newly married couples at the church that we go to in our life group. And so, and only the close ones, you know, I feel that we would, you know, share specific information to. But we try to keep it to someone who wouldn't give us a biased opinion, or someone who wouldn't have an interest in it. So it's still working so far, but again, we're 6 months in and still learning.
Yeah, I don't think there's nothing wrong with sharing with people maybe after the fact, but not while you're going through it. If the wounds are still fresh, you don't want to make it worse. And I just think that sometimes, now you might have friends or family members that might give you a straight up opinion right down the middle, but then again, you may not. So I just think it's a gamble if you do it. So we just,
right.
But there have been times that me and Shamika will be like, okay, we've had an argument, we've gotten past it, we're over it. But we might share our experience as advice to somebody else. So, but not while we're going through it.
Okay. And Sean, I heard you say earlier, and I hear what you're saying, and I totally agree with what you all are saying. I think particularly when you're starting out, you need to kind of get some foundation of your own. But I could bet you your mom would tell you exactly if you were wrong. I could bet you she'd say, now, Sean. But that's just my opinion. She'd send you right back. So
I think so, but I think that, you know, but she'll also tell you, too, that, I mean, you know, I'm her son first, too, as well.
Right.
And then,
right.
You know, but at the same time, you know, she wants to make sure that I'm happy too, but there is a little bit of bias there because, you know, that's my mother as well. So there's going to be a little
right.
bit of bias there, but she wants everything. But of course, she wants everything to work out with both of us. So.
Correct. Yeah, I get that part, but I just know. I think she would give it to you really straight. If she felt right, I know she would. So I just wanted to say that on her behalf. You guys answered it now. Ken and Barbie, do you have anything on that one? How do you handle, you know, the friends and the in-laws?
Okay, this is Ken. My parents are deceased, but I was raised to always listen to your elders, and you can take their advice, but at the end of the day, Barbie and I are going to sit down and discuss and make our final decision ourselves.
Okay. Okay. And does Barbie have anything on that?
Just basically something that I always play during an event that I have, and I listen to all kinds of music except for maybe rap. I don't really listen to it. But in reference to R&B, I like listening to Jaheim, and he had a CD in 2010, and one of his songs was called Bed Is Listening. And what he was saying in that song is that you can be angry and upset with me and call your mom and tell her, and then call your homegirls and tell them. And then by the time the night is over, we're fine, we're together, but they're still upset with me. So that's one thing that you have to watch, is telling your mom, telling your dad, and all of this, because they're going to carry that over. And I don't remember who said what, but when the guy said that, you know, you could say something after the fact is the key to the situation. Because I have a lot of people who I've come in contact with who say something during, and then they decide that, hey, I love him. I was just upset at that moment. And so you have to watch your moments. Your moments actually are going to have to be with God, because where you have forgave your husband, your spouse, your Ace Boon Coon, that person that you also love dearly has not forgiven him and still is angry because they upset the baby. Oh, you upset my daughter, or you upset my son, you know, and everybody else has gotten over it. When I say everybody else, the husband and wife has gotten over it. But Jaheim was just saying, hey, don't say anything. When I get home and we talk this thing out, you know, we're going to be good. Life is going to move on. And you have to pay attention to that. And that's basically what we do. I don't get my friends involved in no type of situation that has to do with my household, just because I don't know the deal afterwards. And can my friends sit aside, and are they strong enough to have only God's thoughts in their mind when I'm okay with the situation, and them too be okay with the situation because they only have God's thoughts on their mind? And when I'm saying that, I mean by saying they're not going to judge my husband or the situation, they're just going to continue to love. And not everybody can do that.
Okay. Okay, wonderful. That's it. You make a great, great point, because it is difficult as a mom sometimes to get over if that person or anybody, so to get over some things when the couple has moved on. So great, great, great comment. So before we go, I'd like for each of you just to kind of give the audience, the listeners. We have quite a bit of listeners on tonight, and I'm thankful, and I was hoping that people would get together and listen, and many people listen after the show. So what would you say? Because relationships are happening. People are falling in love. They're connecting, sharing life, in some cases getting married, having children, and the divorce rate is sky high. We have domestic violence that is out of this world. We hear, just recently had a young lady killed by her spouse just recently. And so with all this going on, it's easy to fall in love, but, you know, I've just recently had I just recently had to go through something with a friend, and I remember, and both of them are my friends. And I feel like I lost a family. I lost a connection because I know them as a family. And as I sat and looked at their faces, I wondered, how does love turn into this? How does love and beautiful children with two beautiful people turn into such hate? So we know it starts out great. We have good intentions, but what would you say? Because at the end of the day, every time a husband and wife divorces, that's a family breakdown. We have in-laws that have to lose, that feel like they're losing connection with someone. We have children that now have to share, if there's children involved, they have to share their weekends, share their days, share their holidays. And then that creates brokenness that now one or both of you are going to possibly carry on to another relationship. So what out of tonight, or maybe some things we didn't share, if you guys could just kind of sum yours up, just give us one thing or two things or as much as you'd like to take from this. And I truly thank you for coming in, because it's sometimes difficult to do this, and a lot of people would not have stepped out onto this platform. But I think we need more of it, because, again, Satan comes to rob, steal, and kill, and he is definitely robbing our families, which indeed it's our children are being robbed as well. We are walking around broken because few people will take the opportunity to participate in things like this so that they can heal and help others heal. So with that being said, if just to not hold you any longer, could you guys, and we'll start, if you guys don't mind, with the people who are on Central Time, on Eastern Time, because I know it's late there for you. So, Jay and Nikki, would you kind of just give us something to close off on your end? Jay and Nikki, are you still there with us? Well, we might have lost them, you guys. They may be gone. Just Ken and Bobby, do you guys want to go?
Yes. Or can you come right back to us?
Yeah, sure. We can go ahead and have Shamika and Sean.
I guess the best advice that we could probably give is to is that whoever you're in a relationship with or married to or whatever the case, and whenever you hit those valleys, you're gonna have peace, you're gonna have valleys. It's just the way that it is with any relationship. And I think when you hit those valleys, that's the period of time that you got to remember why you even got into the relationship in the first place. Remember the things that brought you together. Remember the things that attracted you to that person. And to hold on to that, because that is something that will actually get you through a lot of trying times, and it will prevent a lot of arguments as well too. And when you look at it, sometimes when you can look at it that way, it can really get you through.
Oh wow, that's an awesome answer.
Mhm. And I'll just add to that. I totally believe the same thing, and I'm just a firm believer that, you know, you got to keep God as the foundation, and you know, you got to really hold on to that, and have fun, you know, have fun, laugh, play pranks on each other. We do that a lot, and Just have fun. Have fun.
Okay, wonderful answers. I really love that. Always find something that you really love about that person. And I think that's why it's good to keep memories around, like your wedding pictures. You know, when you're angry, maybe go back and look at your wedding album. Remember that day. Remember all those feelings. And just remember that this is, I think it's important for people to realize, too, that love, while love is a feeling, at some point it becomes more about your commitment, your word that I choose you to love. You know, this feeling may come and go. I may feel a little bit angry with you today, but I still love you, and we won't let the sun go down, you know, with this anger upon us. But I love that, you know, just remember what made you, what attracted you to that person, what drew you to that person, and you know, when you realize the first time that this could be it, this could be the person that I want to spend the rest of my life with. So I love those answers. I love those answers. And we hopefully still have Barbie and Ken on with us. And John and Shamika, now, if you need to go, I want to just thank you all. I know it's 9:30 your time, and you both have early work schedules. So I want to thank you so, so very much. And I will be in touch. But if you need to leave, you certainly can.
Okay. Take care.
Okay, thank you. Thanks again, guys.
Okay.
Ken and Barbie, that leaves us with you.
Okay. I just feel with you saying the domestic violence, I did a domestic violence walk this Saturday, and it just was amazing just to see the many survivors of domestic violence and just to know that, you know, love does not hurt, and love feels really good. And you do not have to hit anyone to express your feelings, nor do you have to accept a lick for someone to get their point across to you. And God loves, and he doesn't love that hard. But in saying that, also, my husband and I think that we built our love with God. We loved him, and he allowed us to love each other, and he allows us to continue to love each other and respect each other. And that's the only thing that we can go off of is God's love, and God is love. And we want to always have that agape love. And we also want to always be able to communicate with each other and talk to each other. And I can't see either one of us ever raising our hands to one another, because that makes no sense at all. And I think that's good that you brought that up this evening. But one of the things that I love about my husband is, from day one, I thought that the door, opening of the doors would stop. The telling me how beautiful I was would stop, but it's never stopped. I think now I'm always telling him, okay, I know you think I'm pretty, okay. But it actually, it does make me feel good too, because what if he wasn't saying anything at all? What would be my thought, you know? But he does, and I love that about him. I acknowledge new things about him, or I like to also dress him as much as he likes to dress me. He likes to go and pick an outfit out for me and bring it home and say, this looks just like you. And that makes me feel good, because he knows what I look like. He knows my style. He knows what I like. He knows what I want. And that's what you want in a man. That's what you want in a mate, because that means you're communicating very well. We finish each other's sentences. I love that, because that means that we are on one accord, as the gentleman talked about earlier. And it is important to stay on one accord. It is important to pray together, and it is also important to pray on your own time too. But prayer together with your mate, it's very special time, and it's very good, and it's enriching, because it helps the one accord to come together. It helps you to stay linked. It is a great thing, because it brings God in, because God is first. He is first. And he gathers these two together. The two that he gathers is you and your husband. And so why wouldn't you all partake in that together? And I'm glad that we're able to do that. So I love our love. I love that we're able to disagree, but able to agree not to be disagreeable. I love that. And that's our love, and it's just a special thing, and I wish for every woman to experience that without someone talking bad to them or talking down to them, because that is unacceptable. But what is acceptable is God's love, his unconditional love. And if you and your husband love God unconditionally, you will be loved by your husband and you by your wife. So that's us in a nutshell. And we love Barbie and Ken. My husband's been calling me Barbie for years, because he always tells me I'm his Barbie doll. And I always tell him he's my Ken, and he's my G.I. Joe when I need him to be. So that's love.
I love the fact that it sounds like, and I think you said you all have been married 10 years, right?
Five.
How long? 5 years.
5 years.
Okay. That to me, and it sounds like you guys are still dating. It really does sound like you are boyfriend and girlfriend, and I love that. And that's what I think so often people get married and they think, okay, now it's over. That's when the work begins. That's when that's when it's time to do even more than you did to get that person, to attract that person. You have to do more. You need to go above and beyond. So I love the fact that I still hear that fire in your voices. I still hear that love, and I love that. And I too, wish for every woman to have that. And I want to just say to the men, you don't know how much you can help women through by encouraging them with your words, learning what their languages, their love languages are. And that doesn't mean that they don't owe you the same, but for the most part, I think when a woman has that from a man, there is nothing she would not do, you know, when she's being loved properly and through the right avenue. So that's what I wanted to end the show with. And for those of you who are still listening, the lines are still open if you want to get some questions in. The only couple that we still have in is Barbie and Ken. So they're on with us, and I don't know if you guys need to get off, but we still have a good number of call-in listeners and still a good few on the chat line, about four on the chat line, I believe it is. So the lines are open. Last chance for those of you who want to get something in. If not, I want to just say to all of our couples that came on tonight, thank you for the coming in and just being a part of the show, and I look forward to doing this again down the road and getting some more questions in and going from there. So do you all have anything else that you want to share? The lines are, I think we've gotten everybody as far as the call in. So Barbie and Ken, I know it's late for you. Thank you again.
Yeah, you
and,
know, I'm a ride or die person for you, Tammy.
I know. And why don't you just share a little bit about what's coming up in November? Because many people will listen to the archive show. So if you will just kind of share what's going on there, where you are and what you're doing with the Sister Circle, because there may be some people that, some women that would like to go. So if you don't mind, could you share a little bit about that before we disconnect?
Sure. Tammy was speaking of November, and November is a major month with the Sister Circle, which is my organization that's about bringing women together from all nationalities, cultures, and backgrounds. And we're having a gala, and our gala will be on November the 17th. Doors open at 5:30, and it'll be at the Shamrock Community Building. If anybody know it's in Georgia, or if you want to travel and you know about the Shamrock Building is absolutely beautiful. The scenery is so serene and peaceful. So imagine to dance the night away, eat good food, like a lovely dinner for you and your mate, you and your significant other. It'll be a great time. We're celebrating our 10th year anniversary for the Sister Circle. And to purchase your tickets, you would go to www.acircleforme.org. That's www.acircleforme.org. And the tickets are $30 for singles and $50 for couples. And I've gotten me some single men, so I'm excited. I needed single men for my single women, and I'm working very, very hard to make that happen. And the gala is just going to be a time to not only dance and have dinner, but just to love yourself. Who has not dressed up in a while? If you want to dress up, this is the place to be. To just dress up, it's semi-formal, but if you feel like you want to be formal, that's fine too. We just want you to be you and feel good. Get a little jazzy and come and have a good time. The Sister Circle is open to women 25 and older. And our next actual Sister Circle event will be in December, but this is the next event for you to come and meet the staff, meet other members, meet people, just mix and mingle. It is a great time, especially for you to bring your loved one, meaning your significant other, and just have a time. Dance until your heel comes off. So Tammy will be there, and she's already purchased her ticket, so I just advise everybody to go to www.acircleforme.org to purchase your tickets, or you can call 404-576-8402. The number again is 404-576-8402. 576-8402 and get your tickets, or you can just go online and get them also. But it's going to be a great time. We're going to have so much fun, Tammy. Girl, you just do not know. I'm so excited.
And I will.
And we're also
going to
have, yeah, we're going to have our young lady circle that morning from 8:30 to 11:30. And I have some good special guests. I have a group that I'm trying to hold the name and hold it back, but they performed at the 2012 Scream Tour with OMG Girls and Diggy Simmons. And we're also getting some very high-profile YouTube people, and I'm not going to tell those boys' name, but they will be in the building too, so I'm going to have it. I'm doing it a little big for the young ladies just to let them know that they're appreciated and that good fun is the best fun, and those ages are 12 to 18, so that's going to be great. We're just trying to do big things, but also put God first in all that we do.
Okay, well, wonderful, wonderful. And does Ken have any closing remarks?
Girl, Ken is asleep.
Okay. Okay.
Yes,
okay.
It is at 3 a.m., so
he
is
okay.
Asleep. But I just want to say that we appreciate you. We appreciate all that you're allowing God to do. Allowing him to use you for such a time as this, meaning couples, and you recognize it and you obeyed, and that's what he loves. He loves a person who's obeying, and you have done just that, and you will reap what you sow. And I appreciate everything you've done for me, and with you doing for me, that does for my family too and my staff on the circle. And we love you. We appreciate you, Tammy. And I applaud you right now because nobody can be Tammy but Tammy. And that needed to just be said. I don't know why, Tammy, but I just move on the spirit. So nobody can be Tammy but Tammy. And I wanted to also say to the ladies out there, Tammy said people go to bed with their rollers in their hair and things like that. No. You know, go to bed as, like I was saying, somebody else. We role play. My husband and I have a good time role playing. And it's okay to do that. You have to do things like that in order to keep it going. Be his nurse or be his doctor. He be your policeman. Come on, make up some things. Spice it up and keep it hot. Don't have to put lighter fluid on your fire. Keep your fire always burning.
And that's coming from a godly woman. So see, and some people will get it mixed up, saying they can't do this and can't do that. But you know, you're in a marriage. You know, make it work. So take the rollers off, take the socks off, and
the clothes.
Take the insecurities off. And the insecurities and all that, yeah. I'll let Jacob say that, yeah. And the clothes. So we've had a good night, and thank you for the message I received that, and know exactly what that means. So confirmation, and thank you for that. Thank you all for tuning in, especially till Ken. I did not realize he had to be to work at 3, get up at 3 in the morning, so I especially thanks to him because I know it's almost 11 o'clock there, so special thanks to him for that. And for all of our listeners, I hope that you were able to get something from this. If nothing else, get the book, find out what your language is, and communicate that in a very nurturing way. So that will be the start and the opening of a huge door as your relationship is concerned. So with that being said, I want to just again thank everyone for tuning in to tonight's show, and look for this again, because I think we may try to do this, you know, once a month or once every few months so that we can get new questions. And I think the more we do it, people will open up and they will start having little sessions and little groups that kind of help each other talk through some things. So if needed, to keep people together. That being said, Barbie, I'm almost going to just call you your name in a minute, but Barbie, do you have anything else you want to share? And I'll put the information about the gala out on my page as well.
So, or you can post it on my page as well, or send me what you need me to post out there. But I think I have all the information, and I just encourage everybody to go, take the time to dress up and go to a nice function. So that being said, if you don't have anything else, I'll go ahead and prepare to close the show. I'm going to check the chat line once more. We just have someone that said, great show. So that alone just is confirmation that we do need things like this. We do need a platform for people that are trying to make it work, to make love work. So it's a wonderful thing when we can. That being said, I'll go ahead and I'm, for those of you who are still on, just kind of stay on, because this is a song that's one of my favorite songs, and a lot of people don't get to hear it, but it's a song called All I Ever Ask, and it's by Freddie Jackson. If you just kind of want to take the time to listen to the words and Google it or YouTube it and just kind of listen to it, you know, as you talk or to just kind of get you going. So I'm going to turn that on and just make sure I'm not leaving anybody out. The lines are clear, so for those of you who are still listening, just kind of hang on and listen to it as long as you like. We still have a few more minutes to go. Thanks again, Barbie and Ken, Nikki and Jay, and Shamika and Sean for just tuning in with us tonight. Thanks to everyone. Have a good night. Thank you.